Welcome to Plot Spackle.
From this point forward, there will be spoilers.
You've been warned.
Hi, I'm John, and I saw this movie when I was just a kid. And, it scarred me a bit.
I'm Richard, and I saw this sometime in elementary school.
And I'm Eric. I have not seen this movie. Whatever. Who cares if it's a Steven Spielberg movie? I mean, what has he done besides Saving Private Ryan and Schindler's List and
Jurassic Park
and Indiana Jones and...
Hey, you're gonna be at this for a while because he's done a lot of great things, and this is one of his classics. We are, of course, talking about E.T. the Extraterrestrial. I want you to take a moment and think about that. Eric, who was born in the time period he was and is close to the same age we were,
the youngest of the group, actually.
He's the youngest, but, you know, still close enough, because I tell you what, you're the age of one of my brothers, and he saw it, I know that. He has not seen E.T. the Extraterrestrial. That's tragic, right? Right, Richard?
I don't know how you avoided seeing it.
Like, it seems like it's impossible. Like, you had to avoid it on purpose. Like, it was intentional.
Like I said, I watched it at school.
You probably had a lot cooler schools than we did. We only watched, like, Bill Nye the Science Guy or something.
Now, to be honest, I'll throw this out. On Eric's side, it is not a movie that has been shown a lot on network television. It's one of those, like, there's movies that are harder to see on TV because they tend to be more expensive, I guess, to get the rights. And this falls in that range. I think in my life that I can think of, maybe it's been shown twice. And that was actually in the more recent decades or when I was older.
I guess Reese's just wouldn't let them show the movie. I mean, their marketing budget for those Reese's pieces, I think that's the big commercial tie-in, just like drowned out.
All right, so what are our stats about this movie?
All right, so this one was released on the 11th of June, 1982. It had a $10.5 million budget. In its opening weekend, it earned $14.2 million and has grossed $435 million. And again, this is directed by Steven Spielberg, and it has won so many awards. 4 Oscars with 47 other awards, a slew of other nominations. It's just huge.
It's E.T. the Extraterrestrial. I mean, all right.
John Williams did soundtrack for this film. Come on.
Yeah,
I have John Williams' soundtrack CD, so...
I mean, this movie started Drew Barrymore's career.
Wait, she wasn't always in, like, rom-com movies?
No.
She was in Scream, wasn't she?
Yes.
I haven't seen Scream, so I don't know, but...
But she was in stuff in 1982.
So here, Eric, now, what do you think E.T.'s about?
Probably, well, everyone knows the E.T. phone home.
Yeah. It's
probably about an alien who crash lands on, in suburbia. I'm going to say Illinois, just for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Or Maine, I don't know. I know it's fall time. I'm pretty sure it's fall time. Right. E.T. crashed. Oh, no, it is fall time because there is a Halloween scene. So, I know it's around Halloween. E.T. crashes. The kid named Elliot finds him, is scared because, well, he's an alien. And then they decide, let's be friends. Let's see. Elliot gets cut with a bandsaw because he wasn't practicing shop safety. Kids, that's how you lose fingers, by running your fingers through bandsaws, I guess. Well, no, you will. I'm not guessing. You definitely will lose fingers. But E.T. has, like, magic powers, and he's able to heal his cut. And, let's see. I'm pretty sure there's a giant conspiracy to get E.T. back. But at the very end, they're able to fly over the government cars because, well, everyone... What's the name of that production company? Amblin. I think that's Steven Spielberg's company, actually, like the one he works through.
Yeah.
So everyone's seen that iconic bicycle scene I mean, it's been parodied a million times. So, yeah, and then E.T., I guess, goes home after a massive phone bill, which is probably just an ad for AT&T.
All right, well, to be honest, that is perhaps your most accurate description of a movie you haven't seen.
But E.T. is also probably one of the biggest movies. Like, you just can feel its effects.
Which is why we're here, Eric.
Because you haven't seen it. But you have seen it, but you haven't seen it. Like, you have not seen it, but you have seen it still on some level. You know what the movie is, and you just...
So why do I have to see it, then?
You have to know. You have to know why it was so big. You have to experience this.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we needed an episode. Churn them out, Eric.
Well, we do need episodes, but, you know, if we want to do an episode just to do an episode, we would have done Flight of the Navigator.
I do want to see Flight of the Navigator.
Plus, I will point out, this was the one that that our listeners on Twitter decided was the most appalling child alien film that you had not seen.
I voted for Flight of the Navigator, so whoever chose E.T. really let me down. I really wanted to see Flight of the Navigator.
Well, I found one of the three votes.
Well, we'll put it on the list. You're not going to not see Flight of the Navigator, all right? It's just E.T.'s next. I guess that brings us to our great segment that everybody loves except Eric. Good guy, bad guy, or band name.
It just seems like I'm being quizzed, or I have to take a test without studying for it. I had enough nightmares in school where that actually happened to me. The actual nightmares, not studying for a test. Anyway, whatever. I get anxious about this sort of thing.
It's all right, because to be honest, it doesn't matter if you get it wrong. It's for our enjoyment and our viewers and our listeners' enjoyment as well. And that's what's important.
We're going to start with some easy ones. All right. Elliot.
I know that's the main character.
All right. How
good
about...
Good guy, I guess.
Gertie.
I want to say that's a band name.
That's actually Drew Barrymore's character.
I like how we usually don't tell you if you're right or wrong.
That one I had to... How about Ultrasound Man?
That sounds like it could be a psychobilly rock band. I'm going to say rock band.
No, that we're still on characters in this film.
Yeah, but he's kind of stretching there. I mean, he's just, you know, talking about background characters.
Yep.
Guy who does the ultrasound.
Medical center.
He's credited.
Band name.
There we go.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, there are like 7 people that are credited as being part of medical unit in this film. How about White Van Man?
Ooh, White Van is one of the iconic scenes where, like, isn't that where they fly over the white van? Am I thinking of Stranger Things? I know that happens in Stranger Things. Bad guy, whatever. They're trying to probably take the extraterrestrial.
White Van Man's a band.
Oh, my God!
But pretty much everything else is... There's not a whole lot. Like, I could go government agent.
Oh, that's a bad guy.
That's definitely... Or, science teacher.
Good guy.
There is one left. Keys.
I bet that's the best friend. Good guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg, like, kids' Steven Spielberg movies seem to be fairly straightforward, though. Like, he's very good at telling a story, but some of his stories are very simple stories.
Yeah.
Not to knock that.
But a simple tell told well is actually a good thing.
In my mind.
It's better to try, you know, to stick your fundamentals and make something that's great and then still has some nuance and levels that you can appreciate later than it is to try for something grandiose and just screw it up.
Oh, so kind of like do the complete opposite of the Last Airbender movie.
Yeah.
Wait, they made a Last Airbender movie?
No, they didn't, sorry. If they were to make one, and if they were trying to shoehorn an entire season into 2.5 hours.
They wouldn't do that.
No, that would be dumb.
Yeah, they'd be smarter than that.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. It's time for us to go watch E.T. with Eric for the first time. And so that brings us to our soothing transition song.
John, aren't you going to do the soothing transition?
Can't. Soothing transition song.
And we're back. So, Eric, what'd you think?
I think E.T. was a very quintessential 80s movie. It was definitely fun, don't get me wrong there. But I think it's also, it's a fairly basic story, so it wasn't very hard to not just figure it out at, like, right then and there. Like, to be fair, I did not know that E.T. basically almost died in the movie. I thought it just everything. I know he was. I thought the major, or just before, I thought the major conflict was the U.S. government trying to or coming to find him, and they find him, and then they have to escape. But not that he almost died, and then they find him.
All right. And so, did you think you mostly knew what the movie was, though? I mean, your description beforehand was pretty accurate.
I think I mostly did know it was. Like I said in the first half of this podcast, I think Steven Spielberg generally did mostly simplistic themes. Not that his movies are simplistic; they're very well made. It definitely has a very simple plot point or hook, if you will.
Yeah,
but not hook. Hook was very long.
So my thought here is. Do you think of it as a simple plot because E.T. was such a part of the psyche of the American nation now, or this population? Like, basically, if E.T. hadn't happened and there was a new E.T., would you be surprised by the new one?
I don't think I would. To me, E.T. had a very Goonies vibe, and didn't Steven Spielberg direct the Goonies? I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember if he was a producer.
I know he has something to do with it.
Oh, he was involved with it. I just don't remember to what extent.
Let's just pull up
Wikipedia. He was one of the writers.
Okay.
On the Goonies.
Because E.T. had a very Goonies feel to it, in my opinion. Mostly just a group of kids banding together to overcome the hardship. And that's the E.T. and the Goonies as well. So I just think that it was simplistic that way. The Goonies came out after E.T. E.T. came out, I think we talked about it during the first half, but we won't even worry about it.
All right, so what's your favorite part?
My favorite part is probably as the kids are running away from the government agents, and you finally get to see like the pure magic of E.T. as they're flying away on their bicycles. And they just realize, oh, well, they're being helped by an alien. We can't actually compete with that.
We cannot. We have excellent government funding for good cars and just can't compete with alien power.
Mm-hmm.
Horsepower does not equal alien power. Those rambunctious teens.
What would you put down as your least favorite part of the film?
My least favorite part of the film is probably when the government agents actually find E.T. and they're coming at E.T. in spacesuits. And as I was just sitting there watching it, it's like, I'm thinking spacesuits, like the moon suits that the astronauts wore, weigh about 300 pounds on Earth. They were only able to use them because of the reduced gravity. Those NASA technicians or whoever is trying to capture E.T. aren't actually going to be able to walk in that unless they're like super swole. They didn't skip leg day, let's just say that.
Yeah. I'm mostly concerned about the one who was like coming through the window. I mean, it's not very plausible or easy. You really think about it. You got to climb through a window in a spacesuit. Would you do it?
No.
Would you do it for Klondike Bar?
Yes.
The Plod Spackle is not affiliated with Klondike Bars.
Sponsor us.
All right. Now, do you think if you had watched this when you were younger, would you have had a different favorite part?
I think I probably would, because I didn't really understand like just the pacing of movies as well as a kid, because I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have, I think I would have liked just, I don't know, one of the silly parts or something. But for me as an adult, the entire movie is building up to the E.T. flying moment. And, you know, that's a good part. But as a kid, I don't think it would have been the same.
See, when I was young, I think my favorite part was when E.T. gets drunk, watches TV, and has the psychic connection with Elliot that causes all the chaos at school. Just that whole sequence with the frogs being set free and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember enjoying that.
Yeah, that was a fun part.
And now, when we were watching it, I was thinking more about how a lot of simple things are told. Like, generally, the ominous man with the keys is mm-hmm. this common thing, and there's always the key sound. I just like that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know who this character is, and you know you shouldn't trust him, and it's all told through with the one prop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was... Steven Spielberg is very good about developing characters, and but not overtly developing the characters. Or it's not coming out and say, this man is a bad man because...
Subtle character development, nuanced characters, you know, mm-hmm. signs of a good writer, director.
I mean, the guy made Jaws when he was like 18...
Got lucky there, though. That could have gone so bad.
It could have, but I mean, it's still Jaws. It would have, to go off on a tangent, let's assume that, you know, Jaws had turned out the norm how it normally would have, with the shark making much more appearances in the film. You know, it would have been an okay movie, you know, who cares, whatever. But because Steven Spielberg was able to adapt to the challenges, it became a great monster movie.
Just a side tangent to that thought. Anyone who's making films or writing, let this be a lesson to you. People often say that creativity flourishes when there's no boundaries, and that is a lie. Creativity flourishes when there are boundaries. You are forced to think differently and adapt to it. And so if someone's taking away boundaries to let you be more creative, you need to say no.
Let's take a look at the different Star Warses. You have the original trilogy, where George Lucas was an unproved director. He had to invent a lot of the technologies to get the perfect shots that he wanted. Those are really good movies. Let's not lie. Let's say it's a Plot Spackle official opinion that Star Wars is a good movie. But then let's go to the second set of the second trilogy, the prequels. And at that point, everyone knows George Lucas. He did Star Wars. I mean, this man is basically a storytelling god. So let's just do whatever he says. You know, sure, he says, you know, let's do a lot of green screen. We'll just fix this. We'll put a bunch of 3D animation in there. You know, the sky is the limit. There's no boundaries. And well, those 3D environments actually look horrible now. But the original trilogy Star Wars doesn't look half bad. You know, how 40 years later, almost? I think it's 40 years, yeah.
All right. Richard?
Now, speaking of Star Wars and back to E.T. What do you think about having E.T. recognize Yoda?
In the context of the prequels, it's like, oh yeah, that's really cool. But since George Lucas and Steven Spielberg were really good friends, it's a cool little homage. Like, oh hey guys, we're pretty cool pals. And they do that, both of them do that in all their movies. I think in Indiana Jones, there's actually C-3PO and R2-D2 in the movie, so...
But less as an homage and more of the connected and shared universe.
Yeah, I think opinion. I think it's pretty cool. It's, you know, whatever. It's... I don't know. It's not strong either way. I think it's cool, but now that I've seen the prequels, like, and you can see the E.T. aliens in the prequels, it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Do you think E.T. is a Jedi?
Well, he'd have to be to make the stuff float.
Oh, so those aren't just alien powers.
No, they're force powers.
Okay.
And, well, E.T.'s fingers glow with the light, so the light side, so he's obviously a Jedi.
But he also brings life back to dead things. So does that make him Darth Plagueis?
No, but it's something the Jedi wouldn't teach you.
That's okay. The Jedi stuff happened a long, long time ago.
Do you feel like it would have enhanced your childhood to have seen it as a kid?
In all honesty, I don't think so. Just because there are so many movies that kind of are based off of E.T., I kind of got the experience of watching E.T. without actually watching E.T. Maybe if I had seen it, I would have liked Reese's Pieces a lot more.
do you think that you would have enjoyed the references to E.T. that those other films had more if you'd seen it?
Well, I still recognize that there are references to E.T., just there are some that were, I don't know, it's just not as, it wasn't as clear, but it's like, oh, growing up, that's an E.T. reference. Because most everyone just references the flying bicycles or the glowing finger, and when Elliot gets his finger cut by the bandsaw or the circular saw, one of the two.
Yeah, the saw blade.
Yeah, and he does the ouch. Those are basically the most parodied, not parodied, but those are the references that are the most.
All right. Now, you think E.T. should be part of your children's childhood?
I think so. Why not? I'm going to teach them to love 80s shows.
Let them have that love. So speaking of 80s things, I find it really interesting because you like Stranger Things.
I do.
You like it a lot. And Stranger Things has a lot of references and inspiration drawn from this era of films. But at the same time, you yourself don't have the full experience of these 80s films. Like, you hadn't seen The Goonies, you hadn't seen E.T.
But I saw The Goonies before I saw Stranger Things.
That's true. But it wasn't like, so for you, it's not nostalgia. So I like that because I think it shows that Stranger Things is well enough written to be its own thing. And it's not just running on nostalgia, which I think is one of the main critiques of it.
Yeah. The Dunphy brother. Is it Dunfer or Dunphy? I can't remember.
I think it's Dunphy.
Duffer.
It is Duffer.
It's the Duffer brothers. But yeah, I think they did a very good job. They also had a lot of, they based a lot of the Stranger Things elements on Stephen King books as well, which I had read those as a kid. But I've never, like, for example, I've never seen the movie, the TV movie It. So I know they drew a lot of references to that. And I, when was It written? Wasn't that the 70s or I'm not 100% sure, but
it's one of Stephen King's earlier works, I believe, but I can't date any of them off the top of my head.
I can't either. So they drew a lot of inspiration from that. And I just think that all stems to the very basic plot point of kids overcoming adversity.
Yeah, as a group.
Yeah. So it, like I said earlier, it's a very basic plot point, but it's not simplistic. And I really like just that it can definitely stand up on its own in a ton of different manners. You have It, you have Stranger Things, Goonies, E.T. There's just a ton of movies that do that.
Specifically from this era.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering if really it was pioneered about this time. I'm trying to think of older films that have that.
Well, one I could really... Escape to Witch Mountain. But that's not... I think the kids in that are kind of secondary characters. And it's the person, the taxi driver. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Yeah, so this is one... This is a set of films in which the adults are apathetic or clueless to the problems or the threats themselves. I mean, in the Goonies, the parents aren't part of it mostly, and the bad guys are, in fact, adults.
Mm-hmm.
In E.T., bad guys are adults.
I guess there's Pete's Dragon, too. That came out in the 60s. But that's mostly a kid, not
But a it's group a kid, and...
And there are still sympathetic adults.
And sympathetic adults.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big difference. And so maybe that's why it really struck a chord with kids and children from this era, is because it gave them heroes that were like them that could win.
The thought just popped into my head. I wonder if Star Wars had something to do with that. Since Star Wars was one of the first hero story movies, it helped teach kids that, hey, you can be a hero too.
Like teenagers and stuff?
Teenagers, but I mean, even little kids love Star Wars. I loved Star Wars growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, who didn't want to be Luke Skywalker? And, you know, he goes on the hero's journey. Then filmmakers could have seen, well, let's just take that and let's have more heroes' journeying around the movies. And then the Goonies, you know, they never said die.
Goonies don't say die.
That's true. And then you have E.T. and Elliot just trying to convince everyone that E.T. is real and not a bobcat or whatever.
Not a chimpanzee with a skin condition.
Yeah. So.
Or a raccoon.
But yeah, I think the 80s were just a really good time for kid heroes.
All right. What do you think is the moral of E.T.?
I would say the moral of E.T. is probably, or is to, well, to help those in need, because E.T. was in need. I'd also say the moral is, even if the world is against you, you still need to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And government officials are bad.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, is they weren't actually bad either.
It's an alien, and who knows what sort of diseases it's carrying. It could probably kill all life on Earth.
Yeah, and like the key guy, in fact, wanted to meet E.T. because it had been his dream since he was young to be in contact with aliens. Like, he has that speech, and so he thought this was this miraculous thing. They wanted to meet the aliens and learn from them, and they were trying to save E.T. They just couldn't.
They didn't know how to save E.T.
Yeah.
Until E.T. like died.
And then it was too late, and they're like, well, I guess we can...
Time to dissect them.
Dissect them, find out what's going on. Maybe next time they'll keep one alive, right?
One can only hope.
And if they if an alien happens to die while they're out, maybe their parents are just going to have to flush it down the toilet and find another alien that looks exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what parents got to do, you know? Got to keep your kids safe from the concept of death.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
All right. Any last thoughts on E.T.? I think we've talked pretty good about it and some other tangents.
I think we have. E.T. is a good movie. It's a classic. You can't really go wrong with it. Don't watch the George Lucas edition. See if you can find the original one. Or an original one where they stopped or where they didn't try and make E.T. much more animated than he actually is.
Yeah, yeah. Avoid that one.
So, but, you know, who cares what, you know, what we think? Why don't you guys tell us what you think about E.T. and let us know on our Facebook page. You can send us a twit on Twitter. Or tweet. One of those. I don't know.
A twit on Twitter.
Yeah.
A twit on Twitter at PlotSpacklePod.
We're on Facebook. Send us an email. Like us on Facebook. Oh, and don't forget to leave a review on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts. It's not on iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts.
Oh, it's their own special
service. It's always iTunes in my heart.
But officially, it's Apple Podcasts.
All right. And good night to everyone.